Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, Joe, we're going to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Friend of the show, Ian Eagle, will join us for a couple minutes. Ian, hope you're safe. Hope the family is good. And thanks for a couple minutes.
Yeah, Joe, great to hear your voice. Good morning, bud.
Hey, we appreciate Ian, you guys, you coming on with us. Well, I got to ask you this right off the bat. So the Brooklyn Nets are a 7 seed. We've got 8 regular season games left. And I just thought, man, if Kyrie Irving and KD came back with a potential of 60 points and if they're in really good shape, do we know anything? Could that happen? Are those guys officially out at this point?
They're certainly not officially out. Anything that was proclaimed prior to the pandemic, to me, you can't just assume that what was the plan prior is now the plan. So those that have dismissed the notion, saying, no, they've been saying all along, no KD, look, things have changed. They've changed dramatically. Games are going to be played in August. Everybody just assumed that once the Nets left the playoff scene in late April, that would be the end of it and KD would get ready for next year. Well, next year doesn't start till December. So I think there's going to be a re-examination of exactly the best way to handle it, asking KD his opinion. The team's medical staff as well will weigh in, the general manager Sean Marks and upper management, their sports science team. They're all going to have to get together once this really gets going in earnest to determine what's the most rational plan moving forward.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. You wouldn't want to face him if those guys are back and we find out.
Can you imagine
going, are you kidding me? This is who we opened with in the playoffs? Are you kidding? Wow.
Yeah, imagine that 2-7 matchup now if they did in the East with Toronto thinking they weren't going to face Kyrie or Kevin Durant, then all of a sudden they both showed. By the way, not that I follow gambling websites, but I do. And at one point, the Nets were 750-1 to win the NBA championship. And just with the hint of those two guys coming back, they've moved to 60-1 to win the championship. So obviously those two guys will make a difference if they do come back and play for the Brooklyn Nets during this. When you heard, Ian, about the comeback for the playoffs and everything, and the way that it's going to be handled now with 22 teams, what were your first thoughts when you saw the way the NBA is going to finish their season and crown a champion?
Yeah, Zach, encouragement more than anything else. I think this was phase two. Phase one was just sitting down and going through all the possibilities and all the contingencies of what this might look like. Phase two was actually coming up with a legitimate plan and releasing it to the public and trying to visualize how this is all going to play out. Phase three is the most difficult part, and that's the logistics of making sure everybody is safe, everybody is taken care of. That's players, that's coaches, that's staff members. That, to me, is going to be the major hurdle in trying to determine if this is something that can come off smoothly or if there are going to be serious bumps in the road. The NBA is a very thorough organization. Adam Silver, if you've ever seen him speak, heard him speak, you understand that this is a man that doesn't just come to the microphone with speculation and conjecture. He's usually gone through every possible scenario in his own head before he faces the questions. But these are unprecedented times, and there are going to be questions popping up along the way that the NBA is going to have to deal with. And now I think we get to the real tough, challenging part of this whole plan.
Yeah. Hey, Ian, by the way, September is going to be like never before with all these sports playing at the same time. They start, if everything stays the way it is, the start of the NFL season plus the playoffs for the NHL and NBA. What a crazy time, and how the heck are you going to handle all that? I was thinking of you last night.
Yeah, we're going to have an avalanche, which would be great. Let's all be frank here. You guys have been talking sports for months here with no actual sports to talk about. So if we get games, that to me would be the best case scenario. And then trying to finagle schedules and work it all out and put the jigsaw puzzle together, I'm not worried about that. It's going to be okay. We'll make it work. Normally, I'm someone that's compartmentalizing and juggling a lot of balls in the air. That's not a problem. If there are games to be called, whether they're live, in person, at a venue, or in a studio off a monitor, I'm ready for it. I'm excited about it. And that would just mean that we're getting closer to maybe getting back to normal life, which just seems so completely unrealistic today. But I'm certainly a positive person, and I want to believe that that's the road that we're traveling on.
Ian, of course, you got kids, even though one of them is a superstar, and one of them, I think he's the Clippers radio guy at this point, so he's not a kid anymore. But if you thinking about the NBA players bringing their families to Orlando and the chance, the fact that, okay, let's say LeBron's kids are there, or well, it doesn't matter what player it is, you got to tell them they can't go to Disney World, right? Like, they can't be running around Orlando and Disney World, Universal Studios, then coming back to the hotel. That is obviously going to be a problem the NBA is going to have to deal with all their players and teams, right? You can't go out and have fun in Orlando, but you could be with your family.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the way that this has been laid out, it is a bubble format. That means that you can't necessarily exit the bubble until we get to a point where we believe that we're in a much safer place, and not just for the NBA players and their families, but for everybody, for society. Right. So I think the NBA is well aware of the optics of this. Of course, they're going to have testing in place, and it's going to be constant. We're all hoping and crossing our fingers that by the time we get to this through late summer, that we've made strides in that area and that we are closer to a vaccine. Ultimately, the only way that we're all going to move forward from this is to know that we can be safe doing the normal everyday things that we've always done. You know, just for me, on a personal level, my travel year in, year out is extensive. And the idea of doing that right now, not to say that I'm not going to do it. I'm going to do what I got to do. If I have assignments, I'm going to go and fulfill my assignments. But the way in which you do that is going to be affected. Less flights and cancellations and things that are out of your control. You know, that's the one part of the equation for me on a personal level that I was always concerned about. I always had angst because I was taking chances on things that I did not control. And that's a flight from Miami to Phoenix, going from an NFL game to an NBA game. I need to know that flight's going to go. And these days, who knows what travel is going to look like. So all of those questions are still going to be very much at the forefront of this whole equation. But what you're alluding to, they can't allow slip-ups. This cannot be a house of cards in the NBA where one card pull just knocked down all of the cards. They're going to have safeguards in place.
I know home court advantage is going to be crazy because the NBA, especially like the Miami Heat, great home record.
Sure.
And some of these other teams. So what happens now with everybody coming to the same gym and playing against each other? Do you have a favorite coming out of this, or is it still the best teams should be the best teams?
Yeah, well, let's think about this for a moment. You're talking about teams that have had more than 3 months off. So how players handled that? Did they work out on their own? Did they stay sharp? Mentally, that aspect of it, all the things you're used to, all the stimuli that normally goes into an NBA game, crowd, music, certain sounds that you hear, all of that is out of the mix. You're not even in a normal NBA venue. So just things that you've grown accustomed to for your entire NBA life. But here's the flip side of it. These guys are competitors. These guys, in the case of a spirited practice, will get after it. And ultimately, the teams that have that kind of approach that, hey, they're crowning a champion, I don't care if there are no fans. I don't care if there's no PA announcer. I don't care if there's no music or sound effects. I don't care if the broadcasters are there or not. I just don't care. I just want to go win. So now when you look at it in those terms, it's the players that have that certain will. You know, a guy like Kawhi Leonard, I think we all would agree, it doesn't matter where you put him, in the middle of 19,000 fans screaming or in a schoolyard somewhere going through drills on his own. He is a machine. I don't think he'll be affected by this. He's just going to go about his business. LeBron James, similar. I know early, he said, I don't know about playing with no fans. Well, this is what you got. This is how it's going to be. So you're going to have to find other ways to motivate yourself. Not saying LeBron specifically. I don't worry about him. Nobody ever worries about him on a basketball court. But every player is going to have to really dig deep within and remember what it is that drove them to become the player that they are today and use some of those elements to motivate themselves.
Hey, Ian, there's something new, too. It's just hold on, something new in your life. Oh, you got yourself a new partner on that CBS football show, Charles Davis.
Yeah. How about that? How about that? One of the just most beautiful guys you'll ever meet. We've had a chance to really get to know each other on Zoom calls each of the last 4 weeks. And that's actually been incredibly helpful. We knew each other, obviously had been in each other's company. But just having that face-to-face time for 45 minutes, an hour a week, Evan Washburn, our sideline reporter, would join us on these calls, and we're just going to do them straight through every single week. And not even talking football more than anything else, guys. As you know, like building chemistry, you and Zach, it's not always about just talking sports and hearing your sports opinions. It's about getting to know the person. So it's been really invaluable, excited. I'm just hoping that we just get the NFL season going and we just find the rhythm that you need to find, not just for us as broadcasters, but just as football fans in general. That to me is going to be pretty special if indeed all the timing works out and we can start at the time in which we hope we can.
Yeah, it didn't take very long, by the way, on our text machine. You brought up Charles's name, and Charles Davis is awesome. Texts are coming in now. A favorite here on our show. We've had Charles on for years.
Yeah.
One of our draft
great
guys.
Guy.
On there. Very happy to hear that he was pairing with you. Two of our favorites here, and especially on the CBS broadcast team. Not to kiss your butt too much, but I had to throw that out there.
No, we do. We do kiss your ass a lot on this show.
Right.
We want to let you know. There's a lot of South Florida ass kissing going on with you. Hey, how do you feel about Tua, by the way? What were your thoughts when Tua comes to the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah, that's the way I thought it should be. Honestly, to me, that made the most sense, and I'm sure you guys looked at every possible angle on this thing leading up to the draft, and you've talked about every possible angle since. But to me, that's the fit. That's what the team needed going forward. They needed someone to build around, and you know, I think the kid's got incredible drive. Clearly, he's an elite talent. Now let's see if they can put it all together and build an offense around him. And certainly, as we know, there's a lot of respect for the people that are in powerful positions within the organization that they're going to do the right things moving forward and turn this franchise around.
I just wanted to ask you this, besides the obviously getting prepared for what could be sports seasons and two of the major sports you're working with, have you been doing like binge watching TV? Like, is the wife sick of you yet? Like, what's going on in the house with the whole quarantine over the last couple months?
Yeah, wife is not sick of me. I get that question a lot. I'm going to really start to have to analyze why people are asking me that question, because I'm not an annoying person.
It's just a go-to question to ask. It's nothing personal. Right.
Yeah, you're not.
You get a lot of, your family ready to kill you? No, they're not. No, we like each other. We have no drama in the house.
Well, you couldn't be the Rose family. That was bad.
It is.
Right.
Yeah, I must say, I thought we'd be watching a lot more TV. I watch a lot. I do consume a lot on the road, traveling, planes. I tend to just crush shows, but I can't say that we've overdone it. There's been stuff that we've really liked. There's a show on Hulu, Dave, about the rapper Lil Dicky. It is so good. I'm just telling you right now, if you have Hulu and you haven't watched a show, that's the one. That's the pandemic stamp of approval quarantine that I would be all over. It was a really well done, funny, witty, legitimate, terrific show that I consumed during this time.
Ian, can't thank you enough, man, for coming on. I really appreciate it. Last second, thank you so much.
Oh, are you kidding me? Last second ass kissing is the best kind of ass kissing.
I learned from the best, Ian. I learned from the best right here. That's it.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it.
Feel good, guys. Great hearing your voices, truly, and can't wait to see you guys in South Florida. So we'll touch elbows. I look forward to it.
You got it.
Right.
Thank you.
Ian Eagle from CBS and Brooklyn Nets and the whole deal. And wow. How about that? By the way, I looked it up right before he came on. I know we got to get to Mike Florio next. 750-1 the Nets at one point, and now 60-1 just with the rumor of those two guys maybe coming back.
Be great for the playoffs, man. It would really, really help, especially if KD looks like KD. Hey, we wait for a little Mike Florio fix. We got that next.
All right, Joe, we're going to head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. It's Friday. It's time to talk to Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com. Mike, good morning. Thanks for coming to the show. Hope the family is safe.
All good here. Here we are. It's summertime, and the start of the season is less than 100 days away, and we're still all hopeful there'll be a season.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Mike, just curious for Pro Football Talk, what's this week been like with everything that we're seeing with George Floyd and everything else? What's it been like?
Well, look, it's been a challenging week, especially with the show that we broadcast every morning on NBCSN. And it's a moment where you can feel the world change. And I think that's been one of the most significant experiences I've had. I don't remember a time like this where a switch has been flipped and it feels like everything is different and that real change, I'm hopeful, is coming. And we've been trying to cover it as part of our mission to cover the National Football League because there's a clear overlap. And there have been comments like the Drew Brees statement that sparked a backlash that has been a big part of the news cycle for the past couple of days. So we've been trying to be fair to the story. You know, I say all the time, we don't pick the stories pick us, and the times pick us, and these are the times we are in. And one of the things that I'm somewhat encouraged by, the old deflection points like stick to sports, I think people are starting to realize what that really is. That's a device by those who don't want to be troubled by opinions they disagree with. They don't want to be made uncomfortable by opinions that they'd rather not hear, so they shout stick to sports, and nobody's sticking to sports. And, you know, some of these other hurdles, some of these other efforts to get people to change the topic are beginning to crumble as well. And the one big effort to change the topic from 4 years ago, that kneeling during the national anthem is disrespectful to the flag, to the military, to the nation, that is starting to crumble as well, as evidenced by the backlash to Drew Brees. So, you know, we are experiencing change. The question is, will it go far enough in this moment? And I don't think there's a middle ground here, guys. I don't know how much you've talked about it, but I'm sure it's inescapable. But there isn't a way to straddle the fence here. And I think that's how Drew got himself into a little trouble. I think he tried to straddle the fence and try to keep everybody happy. You have to pick a side. And if it's going to piss off 30% of your audience, 30% of the country, whatever that percentage is, now is the moment to get on the right side of history. And we should have been on the right side of the history for the last 244 years because the documents that we hold so dear as Americans already had the answers in them. All men are created equal. We all have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Equal justice under law. That's the motto that is carved into the stone outside of the Supreme Court. Why has it taken so long to get us to the point where we're saying, hey, oh, wait, this really does apply to everybody?
Yeah. Hey, Mike, I want to bring this up because I know I got it yesterday. I was telling these guys this morning. Joe, can I talk to you for a sec? Why does Drew Brees need to apologize? He shouldn't have to apologize for his opinion. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Why? And so I had said, well, there's a lot of reasons, including he's playing as a leader of a franchise with 70-something percent black players that he's built up a relationship. If you have these disagreements, why not take him in-house and share him with them instead of the way he handled it? What were your thoughts, and what would you say to people?
Well, here's the problem that I have with the situation as it stands right now. Drew Brees apologized. He did. It doesn't matter whether or not you think he has to apologize. He did apologize. Why did he apologize? Because of the intense backlash from his teammates, from others in the sports world, from others beyond the sports world, to him repeating one of the deflection points from 4 years ago. That is gone now. This idea that, well, oh, you can't take a knee during the anthem. Look, we're all waking up to the idea that if we'd taken Colin Kaepernick's message seriously in 2016, George Floyd and others would be alive right now. But we didn't take it seriously. We tried to avoid it. We tried to change the topic. We didn't want anything to invade our bubble of normalcy. We didn't want to be made uncomfortable. We didn't want to face hard truths. So we attacked his method instead of heeding his message. So when Drew Brees attacks the method again with his opinion, I never will agree with anyone disrespecting the flag. That's what he said that started all of this. When he does that and then apologizes in the face of the backlash, you know, the one lingering question I have, does he still hold that opinion? That's the one thing he hasn't addressed through his two apologies. And I don't know whether or not he said it to his teammates yesterday, but if I'm a teammate, before I accept that apology, I'm going to say, Drew, so you're saying it's okay? If I take a knee during the anthem, you're not going to look at me funny. You're not going to be thinking in your heart, I don't agree with my teammate disrespecting the flag. Or have you changed your opinion? He hasn't addressed that. And I want to know. I'm curious. I mean, as a member of the media, I am curious. As an American citizen, I'm curious. Has Drew Brees changed his opinion after this backlash? Or is he simply sorry there was a backlash for an opinion that he still holds? He hasn't said it. And if I'm a teammate and he's privately told me, I'm okay with you taking a knee, my next comment would be, well, get out there and tell everybody else too, because you're a white quarterback with a very high degree of prominence, and you can help convince all these other people who are still clinging to this notion that engaging in a peaceful protest during the national anthem in some way disrespects military, the flag, and the nation.
Mike, I know that the apology after he made it, I know Michael Thomas came out and said he apologized, we're moving forward, we're going to have a meeting about it, blah, blah, blah. But around the league, other teammates, do you think that this is just going to be accepted as an apology, or a lot of players around the league going to look at Drew Brees the wrong way all season long and maybe for the rest of his life?
Well, I mean, let's be realistic about this. The Saints have an urgency to get everyone on the same page. And Sean Payton, one of the best coaches in the NFL right now, he knows how to talk to his players to get them to turn the page. It's in all of their interest to turn the page. That's why I was so stunned that the backlash was public from guys like Malcolm Jenkins. And Jenkins has yet to say anything about the apology. I'm very curious to know what Jenkins thinks of this, and his silence is becoming more conspicuous as time passes. But if you're not part of that team, you're not in a position where it's kind of expected by your coach that you're going to mend fences. It's almost like when two siblings fight and mom and dad get involved and the siblings are required to make up, right? You've got to make up. It's for the good of the family. Making up is for the good of the Saints. But people outside of the organization, they are going to have their opinions, and they're not in any way directly or indirectly benefiting from finding peace and keeping peace as it relates to what Drew said. But if I'm a teammate, I want to know, I never will agree with anyone disrespecting the flag. Did that change? You know, have you had a Saul on the road to Damascus moment where the scales have fallen from your eyes? Or do you still believe it?
Or are you taking it all under advisement and you're going to make a decision in the coming weeks as to whether or not you'll change your views? He just, an apology that doesn't address the thing he's apologizing for is a hollow apology, right? I tried to come up with an example earlier today on PFT Live. Let me try it on you guys to see if it works. It's the equivalent of someone walking down the street in their neighborhood with a T-shirt on that has a horribly offensive message on it. Whatever the message is, it's horribly offensive, and everyone agrees it's offensive. So he walks through the neighborhood on Wednesday. Everybody says, "What in the hell are you doing? You can't walk around with that T-shirt on." He apologizes for it, and then he shows up with the same T-shirt on the next day. That's what this is, if he still holds that same opinion.
Yeah.
So that's what I want to know. Is he wearing the T-shirt? Where is the T-shirt? Is it under a Saints jersey for now? Is it hanging in the closet for future use? I just feel like at some level he may be trying to appease everyone, to not upset anyone, and while keeping his teammates happy, also catering to the "how dare you take a knee during the anthem" crowd, either because he thinks that helps his short-term financial interests as somebody who markets his image and likeness, et cetera, or maybe somebody who wants to get into politics someday.
Mike, is Roger Goodell, what's been your take on what he and the league have done so far?
Well, last night the NFL posted on social media a statement, "Black Lives Matter," and that is something that the players who put together that compelling video, that video that those players put together, it shows the power of the platform. It shows how simple it is to send messages that resonate with people. The video with that montage of players where they say, "I am George Floyd, I am Tamir Rice, I am," one name after another.
Right.
It is powerful, powerful, powerful. And they had three requests for the NFL. One, "We stand against racism." Two, "Black Lives Matter." And three, I'm getting them out of order, but three, "We support your right to peacefully protest." And so, the ball's in the NFL's court now. The players have spoken in a unified voice. "We want you to acknowledge that you were wrong to silence our peaceful protest." And this goes back to 2017, where it was clear that the owners were trying to steer players away from doing anything during the anthem because that affects the bottom line. What will the league say now? And if there were games this weekend, I would suspect a large percentage of the players would take a knee during the national anthem or otherwise raise a fist or protest during the anthem. And, 3 months from now, it may be different. It may be better. It may be worse. But this is something that the players want an answer now. Do you support us? Not do you tolerate it, or will you say, "Well, technically you have the right to do it, but we'd rather you not." Do you actively support our right as Americans to make our voices heard and to make our opinions known on that platform?
Yeah, it is funny because we have talked about when they go back here in the next month or two and have practices before they talk about X's and O's and meet your new teammate, it's going to get right into this. And every head coach, I don't know how many owners come down, but how head coaches handle this and what is said, as I think a lot of the players are going to be curious as well, how this thing will be handled and which coaches and how. Do you think owners will get involved in those first couple of days, or you think it's just, "Hey, head coach, this is how we feel, go get it"? What do you think will be the take?
I think it's going to vary from team to team. You're going to have some owners who are fully supportive of what's going on. Some people, look, I'd like to think that this moment in American history has triggered for many people a fundamental change in the way they look at the world. And things that a few years ago made sense all of a sudden seem antiquated. And I'd like to think that out of a group of 32 owners, there will be a significant percentage that has undergone the same kind of shift that so many people have experienced since seeing the video of that horrific murder of George Floyd. So, and understanding and finally waking up to what needs to be done in this country to create true justice and equality for all. So there will be some, I hope, who get it. There will be some, as usual, who don't. Dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things, in large part because they have dysfunctional owners. And, there will be some who try to just stay out of it and defer to the people that they've hired to run the team. But it's not going away. And the NFL needs to realize that there's no magic phrase that can be uttered
to make this go away, other than the league and its 32 teams fully support the right of every player to use the platform we have provided to engage in protest aimed at bringing awareness to the problem of social injustice in the United States of America, period.
Yeah. Mike, Colin Kaepernick, was he playing the NFL again after all this is going on in the world today?
I still think that it's an uphill climb for a variety of reasons. If I'm Colin Kaepernick and somebody calls me today, I'm going to be very leery because right. I'm going to feel like I'm a prop now in an effort to win a PR battle. And there was a lot and still is a lot of mistrust between the two sides. It dates back to him essentially suing the league. It was an arbitration filing under the CBA, but it was a lawsuit. It was settled for somewhere between $5 and $10 million. And then last year, the NFL decided out of nowhere that it was going to arrange a workout and invite teams to it in an effort to get Colin Kaepernick in front of these teams. And that ultimately resulted in a situation where both sides took a lot of blame for how they handled it. They just don't trust each other. What's your true motive? What's your true intent? Those are the questions that continue to ricochet between Kaepernick's camp and the National Football League. And it's a lot to get past. And I think in the short term, nothing happens. The real question is, if we have another rash of quarterback injuries early in the season, and last year it was week two, Ben Roethlisberger, done for the year. Cam Newton, done for the year. Drew Brees, out for 5 weeks. Will teams say next man up, or will teams finally say we're bringing in Colin Kaepernick for a workout? We're looking to add somebody to the depth chart. Now, at some point, he's going to have to say, I'll take whatever I can get, since I haven't played for the last few years, right or wrong, blackballed or not, and we all know he's been blackballed. He hasn't played in 3 years. No one's going to give him $10, $15, $20 million. Will he take whatever he can get for the opportunity to join a team? That's going to be part of the question, too. But it's all to be determined. When we get into September or August, whenever the injuries start to happen to quarterbacks, and it's not a guarantee that it will, but when it happens, if it happens, will he be on the list this time, or will he continue to be shunned?
Mike, thank you, man. I appreciate you. Coming on with this morning, guys. As always. Hey, have a good weekend.
Well, yeah. Hey, these are difficult issues, but it's good we're having the conversation. And you know, like I said, we're not going to make everybody happy, and we shouldn't try to, because the people who are upset by the truths that we're speaking, they need to search their own hearts, and they need to ask themselves if they need to change. Because, again, the documents that founded this country contain the very rights that African Americans are fighting for nearly 250 years later, and it's a tragedy that it's taken this long to get to the point where we're all waking up and saying enough is enough.
All right, Mike.
Well said, Mike.
All right. See you guys.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you,
Mike. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline.
All right. Well, listen, before we go to break, I want to talk to you about Baptist Health South Florida, who's just done so much great work here in South Florida. The whole system has been fantastic. I think we realized that the things that had mattered before weren't that important, right? And that the old became new again in a lot of cases. Just getting families back together, we rediscovered what we thought we lost. We all found out that the most important things, yes, are our health. Things we used to take for granted, like our health, we get it now. So to everybody out there, strength means something different, and the meaning of heroes has been redefined. We've all been reminded the crisis doesn't build character, it reveals it. So Baptist Health wants to say thank you to everyone, especially our healthcare heroes, for continuing to take care of us during these tough times and let you know that when you need Baptist Health, they're ready to continue taking great care of you. So the entire community, keep caring, live healthy, stay strong. Learn more at baptisthealth.net/coronavirus.
Hi, I'm Nick Bacon with your traffic report. Things getting a little bit better there on the roads since my last traffic report. Thank goodness for everyone out there. Remember, we don't support road rage, so be careful while you are out there. But traffic always does have a sponsor here on the station, so let's get right to it. Do we have a sponsor here, Rick Bacon?
Actually, this one is not sponsored, so let's just get back to the program.
Back to the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Loser.
Don't call Nick Bacon a loser. He's a hard worker this morning.
Oh, my God, you guys.
I thought Rick Bacon wanted to talk. That's the only reason why.
Yeah, Mike, Rick.
No, not Mike. Don't do that.
Mike Bacon.
Mike Bacon?
My Bacon.
My Bacon? All right, I'll go with that.
All right, hey, listen. Flory always brings it. 305-567-0560.
Right.
And I know he brings with a lot of text messages this morning. What kind of stuff you got coming in?
All right, let me get this ready to go. This Mike Florio is a Johnny-come-lately blowhard, spouting things he doesn't believe, just trying to be politically correct. Drew Brees has nothing to apologize for. He's entitled to respect the flag and the anthem. He has a right to his belief and feeling. Another one says Florio's a crybaby. There are a ton of... Since Mike came on, the text machine has been absolutely flooded.
I feel like people are missing the point, though. No one's questioning the fact that Drew Brees has a right to say what he wants.
Well, it's the fact that what
he's saying is harmful to what's going on right now. That's why people are upset. But no one's saying that like he doesn't have the right to speak.
But he had no idea that he was going to get picked up by the left and the right and
everybody
in between and the most powerful and biggest name athletes and celebrities and everything else. We're going to comment one way or the other. And at all your favorite political shows, we're going to pick it up and run with it one way or the other. Like, you can say whatever you want, but you have to realize, coming with being one of the best players in the NFL, that this was going to happen, especially in a league that, and the guys you play with, who, by the way, were as upset as anybody, is 70% black. Like, all that stuff has to come into play. And for him, you know, and I heard it yesterday. Drew Brees shouldn't have to apologize, Joe Rhodes. Why? So I try to just, let me give you some ideas. Like, maybe if you feel that way, like Mike, I think everybody wants to know, does he really feel that way? Does he tell those guys that privately, or which we'll probably never know? What's he done, two apologies now? First one wasn't he. I think he just wants to make sure he's getting out of being the lead story in the news, right? For uh-huh. everything.
Here's another.
Weren't
one,
you just
Joe.
Really quick, Joe? Weren't you just more disappointed like at anything from Drew Brees because he has such a good image?
He's done
a lot of good stuff, and you think of Drew Brees as like one of the really good guys in the NFL. Yep. So it was just it was incredibly disappointing to hear him cause so much damage and harm with his
said.
It was very disappointing.
Yeah, and he just did not put the kneeling with what's going on, and because of that, which is really what part of this divide's about, is the flag, and people go, oh, we can do all this stuff without those guys bringing in the flag, and these guys have said, no, man, this is part of our freedom, is what that flag stands for. So everybody's got a different belief. Again, whatever your beliefs are, and a little bit to do with your party and what sides you're on this flag and the kneeling thing. Hey, listen, I remember last time we're coming home from Seattle and the fan base. What was that, 2016? Is that what we decided, it was 2016 or 2017?
Yeah, I think it was 2016.
So 2016, we're coming home from that long flight after that tight game loss to Seattle. And I remember the team had like already like 1,500 or 1,800 complaints, not about losing the game, about Kenny Stills and whoever else at the time. And some of them were suite holders. So there were sponsors. It was a combination of everything that I'm guessing Tom Garfinkel had to go back and deal with. So I don't know if people go, I get it. These guys, you know, and everything, or not. I don't know what it'll be like this time. I'm guessing it won't be all good for sure.
No, it's never all going to be all good.
Not for business, right?
Right. Did Mike Florio come very strong this morning and hit it right on the head with the Drew Brees topic. I hope you guys play this conversation again next week, because not only do NFL players and organizations need to hear it, but all sports organizations should, and hopefully get some positive responses from it. I'm just saying, again, awesome and very strong interview, guys. It's from the Jedi.
Listen, Mike Florio, whether you like him or not, I mean, we already have people, oh, Florio's coming up, I'm turning you off, like we're going to, oh, don't turn us off, we won't have Mike on, you know, it's been on with us through everything for years and years with ProFootballTalk.com, but he brings up his take on everything, and by the way, I always say this too, like people still don't get after all these years. you're not going to agree with everything. And that's okay. I mean, I don't expect you to agree with everything. It would be impossible for us to do something and take a topic, no matter what it is, from a high school football coach losing his job to what Mike Florio said, for everybody to agree with us. It's just not going to happen. I got news for you. When you open your mouth, not everybody agrees with you, unless, right, you know, you're around your small group of people. But I don't know. Enough. What else you got, Zach?
Well, someone said, this is a hypothetical, obviously, statement, but if Drew Brees was a black man, would he be getting this much flack? I don't know if anyone can answer.
No.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I mean,
listen, he's one of the leaders of the NFL.
Right.
He's maybe the biggest name athlete in any NFL city. He is. Nobody's bigger. Hmm. Because what happens, I know people, Tom Brady. Well, Tom Brady got his share with the Red Sox when they're great and all that. And I guess you can make the Tom Brady, but he is huge, man, in who dat country. He is.
I mean, not just there, though, Joe. He's one of the most recognizable faces in football.
That, I agree.
Like, yes. He just is. Yes, he's up there with Tom Brady.
Right.
Yes. Yes, he is.
Can't debate that.
So, right, and again, he has a reputation, like you said, Joe, of just being a genuinely good guy. So it was just surprising and disappointing.
He's a giver. Gives a lot of money to a lot of causes that those guys all agree with, and money. And I think that's why they were just stunned with all this stuff. That really, in the last 2 days, it's been unbelievable. The reaction has been unbelievable. Now a lot of people are like, I've lost respect for the guy for deciding to apologize. Like, yep. What? So, yeah, Drew's in a tough place right now, for sure.
Drew probably wishes he can go back in time and just say, I can't do the interview. See what happens from there, regardless of what his thoughts were.
Yeah, you think he emails the producer, Yahoo Finance? Right, right. He's like, let's not do this today. Yeah.
Right.
Sure,
hey,
Yahoo,
man.
Finance, right, says, listen, I can't win with this one.
He's just sitting at home. All of a sudden, he's the number one trending topic in the country.
Yeah, and every broadcast and his own locker room, his own league.
Well, that's part of the story. Part of the story was your reaction from
your teammates. Yeah.
Not from another team or what LeBron James said, but from your teammates. That those guys got to play with.
Yeah.
I'm sure Drew's used to getting stuff that says, I don't like you.
Right. I mean, I can imagine all those guys, regardless of what their stances are or anything, get that kind of stuff. But this just hit the biggest nerve in the country at that point, which is crazy. Albert in North Dade said, I tuned in late, so not sure if someone else mentioned this, but has anyone said that Drew Brees' family and all the military families have fought and died precisely for our right to protest? That is our right. And Drew Brees is very ignorant, quite frankly, and all others that say people don't have the right to protest in this country, give him a break.
Well, that's the other divide that I went through back in 2016 doing these shows, was what the flag stands for, freedom of speech, freedom to do what you want, stand. I mean, we went through that, and I can still remember all the people telling me how many people they had, family members and friends serve in the military, which, honestly, everybody's had.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep. Let me read you a couple more here. Mike is such a hypocrite. Ask Mike why he's still doing the NFL gig when Ty Hill is still playing and said he would quit if he still played. Where does he stand there on child abuse?
He stands with, he said, she said, nothing came out, no video. Played, had a great year, and he's got a Super Bowl ring, and he covered him that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we're all a little phony, like in... Right. How many times have we all said, I mean, I'm not defending Mike. I've done the same stuff. But, I mean, if you want to handpick something, there you go.
Well, someone said Mike Florio's entire show on Tuesday morning was about the equality or lack of and dealing with our society. It was great. He gets it. So his entire
Mike gets
show
it, man.
Was,
listen,
right.
Mike's going to do what Mike wants to do, and he can. He's one of the greatest success stories of what he's been able to really do outside of the league. He was on the outside of the league, and he had this thing called ProFootballTalk.com that for some reason the NFL didn't buy. and it got so many clicks. And by the way, get so many clicks that NBC bought half of it. I can't even imagine the size check he got. You want to try to guess size of that or for what guys are getting for their websites?
Definitely seven figures. Definitely yeah,
seven figures.
Right.
Whose dog is going nuts back there?
That's mine. That's mine. Sorry.
All right.
Nothing I can do.
Nothing we can do during these times. Give us one more, Zach.
Right. Breeze didn't kneel, but he sure did squat the other day.
You guys are beautiful. You guys are beautiful. Right. Listen, I'd love to stay with you a couple more hours, but hold on a second. I hear a tennis court calling my name.
That's raining. Hey,
or my dog. Right.
Hey, you guys have a great weekend. All of you out there, stay safe. And hopefully stay open-minded. Have a great one. Levy and Stu Gotts coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.